Paul, obviously the news yesterday at the luncheon, continuing on with the hockey club. Can you just take us back to maybe the last few weeks or what this timeline has been for you?
Well, we had met through the course of the summer and kind of all agreed that we really wanted it to happen from their point of view and from mine. So that was really never in doubt. And then, as you've all well documented, we had a whole host of things that took priority over that, and it was never really kind of on the radar. And over the last, last couple months, Kevin kind of told me what they were thinking. I told them what I was thinking. They made me an offer, and I accepted it. It was, I think this is the fourth contract. The entire negotiating time over the last four contracts has been about 10 minutes, in truth. They've always been very fair to me, and I'm exceptionally happy here. So it's a good fit, and it went well.
Is it, I know the word's not right, relief, but just now that you're moving forward and you know that it's there for the rest of the year?
No, there's almost no emotion to it, truly, because it was taken care of in the summer, really. It truly was not on my plate or a concern of mine.
I'm going to ask you to talk about yourself, because there's very few coaches that have lasted as long as you have
right.
One organization. Why is that?
You do a pretty good job here. Communication is always the most important thing in any relationship, and that's north of me and south of me. So with ownership and management and with the players, and you always want to feel that you're on the same page and feel like you're moving in the same direction. So from my point of view, that part's been easy from ownership and management from the very first conversation with Kevin, very clear about the direction of the team and the expectations of that team. And I'm fortunate to work for Hockey Men. And what I mean by that, we have a very strong understanding of what's on the ice and the expectations of that group, so you're in sync with that. And then we have a really good kind of young group of guys that are coming together and I think making really important strides in their individual game, which will eventually lead to a real strong team game here. So being able to communicate and work within that group is... I'm not going to say it's a strength of mine. I'm going to say I've been very fortunate in that situation. So that my two long-term situations are almost identical. Very stable ownership that understand the game. And both the general managers that I've worked for over a long period of time have won. Jim's in the Hall of Fame. Kevin won a Stanley Cup in Chicago. So they understand where their team is at in the progression of building. And that understanding is critical for coaches. That they have a deep understanding of the game and where your team's at.
How important is continuity for a head coach?
That's more for the head coach, I guess. See, that's kind of a joke. See, if there was no continuity, you get fired, right? So that's kind of... most important is the direction, right? Like that as a coach, you have to be able to grow and evolve and change with your group as it changes around you. And we would have gone through the major change that you find is when an organization gets very young and builds through that, so that you're not, certainly we all have our principles and our belief in the game, but you have to be able to add things to your game to change the way you view players to evolve. Is the word that's the most important thing.
And did you always feel the way that this season's gone?
Yeah.
A lot, and to see some of the names that have gone down.
Right.
This year in the head coaching world, was there ever worry for you?
It would be truth without sounding flippant or casual, because you just can't be in this job. It was never a concern. I mean, there's a theme with some of the other guys who were veteran teams that were possibly pushed to their max, and at those point then the voices change and those guys get jobs right away, right? They're, I'm thinking of Pete, a good friend that had done a really good job in San Jose and kind of pushed them to it, and things were starting to fall, maybe they're aging out, so you get a change in that. But they're not relatable in terms of every situation's unique, and the assessment is always, is this the right man for this team right now?
Coach, apologies if this is covering ground you've been over, and I think you have, but when you came here and tried it out for a few months and listened to Kevin's direction and his message, what made you sign up for something that you haven't really been down the road of, with, which was a organization trying to build and be young? Not many coaches would sign up for that, because it's pretty risky.
It would have been my start, though, in the league. Very similar, but in a different situation. So I'm brand new when I go into Hartford. But Jim had just taken over the team. It was almost a more difficult situation than being handed an expansion team because you had a whole bunch of contracts that you were locked into. So that changeover, and that was his message, was, listen, we're not a very good team. You probably won't be a very good coach early on. You're brand new, right? You're learning all this thing at 28, but we're gonna restructure this and build it together. And that experience was kind of weighed heavily on coming into Winnipeg. I felt they were kind of similar in that, in their view of where they were going with their team. The idea of starting some scratch at that time was more enticing for me, right? That you get to kind of build something, and you are very hopeful, and I was lucky in that they drafted exceptionally well here, right? So we do have some really good young players, and then a whole bunch, even from the, I saw a board on one of your program feeds about the number of guys in the game from the 2015 draft. Well, that's not that long ago, and there's a bunch of guys playing, and the most of them are playing for us. So I had a sense very early that, yes, we were going to get young, but we were going to put good players in that lineup while we were doing it. And after year two, which was, so I don't count that first half of the year, after year two, you know, we had gotten real young, but there was hope there because some of the young players we already had were going to be really good, and then the kids that we were putting in, you could see right away they were going to be really strong.
Including this go-around, you've been part of some pretty long stretches as a coach. I don't know if this is a fair assessment, but a lot of times people will say that sometimes just after a coach has been somewhere for a while, the message gets tuned out.
Right.
What have you done in your career to avoid that happening?
Well, there are two things running concurrently here. One is that we've had a fairly major changeover when we got real young. And we've had a fair amount of personnel change, so there's new ears in there. And then we would have worked very, very hard, especially in those 2 years that we got very young, of being mindful of the need to change and evolve with the group. So what we run today is considerably different than what we would have run 4 or 5 years ago because our group has changed, the style of game that we're able to play with this team, and more importantly, the style that we believe we're going to be able to play here in years going forward. So there was an awful lot of, I use the word evolve a lot, but we spent an awful lot of time trying to do things differently, change things, not get stuck, and we're just running this concept. So how we move the puck, what we're capable of doing, where our strengths and weaknesses really changed in 4 or 5 years and continue, and maybe this year more than ever. There's more change in style of game because of the changeover in our personnel, just to be very mindful of that need to evolve.
So that can be beneficial because things are fresh, things are changing. What's the difficulties you run into sometimes with players who want to keep things the way they are? This is working, let's keep doing what we're doing, I don't want to evolve.
Then you are really, really reliant on your leadership group. And there are 4 or 5 really important pieces to me in my real desire to be here, ownership and management, the excitement of the off-ice staff. It's a great group of coaches, but also the people behind the scenes make it a great work environment. A really strong leadership group here. So So I talk about Blake all the time and the changes that he's made in his game, and it's obvious, right? He's gone from a 91-point guy at wing, and then he goes to center ice because we absolutely need him to. But Mark Scheifele as well, the evolution of his game, he doesn't get to play with Blake. He's taken on 2 young guys on the wing. This is a proud guy that wants to produce a lot of points. We know he's very capable, but there's some mentorship that goes on when you take on a young player. So those young guys have kind of challenged our leadership group to become partial coaches in that room. That has a big piece of it. The biggest one of all, I mean, I'm on the record of, and I can't explain to you clearly how important Winnipeg has been to my family, but the biggest reason in all this is I truly believe in this team's ability to win. And if you're on the outside looking in and you're trying to pick a job out there, you want to coach the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, the things that we're going through this year, and some of it is just the changeover for having young players come in and put up the points that they did, is that you have to shift your lineup around, but that core is still there. and I think in what we're going through this year is going to be a big driver into us getting to that next level with a team that won't be young in a couple of years. Like, this is still a very young group. When you think of the difference between a 23-year-old and a 25-year-old, the most exciting thing is I think this team can win.
Did you use an agent at all?
No, I never have.
Okay.
Jimmy just used to tell me, this is what we're paying you, kid. I've got a, now with the flow of information, you have a really good understanding of what the league is. But most importantly, Mark Chipman and ownership and Chevy have been very fair. So there wasn't a negotiation because there didn't need to be one. That was fair. I'm more than happy to work for that.
Obviously, you're saying things yesterday and today that indicate that you're very content with the situation for you and your family. We get that. I just, you know, not that contentment means being relaxed. So how do you sort of push yourself to the next level so that you're driving this team just as you suggested?
That is inherent in the enthusiasm that you get from the belief that you can win. And it's also something that's kind of happened this year that we've almost at times had to manufacture it. You know, we have somewhere between 6 and 8 players out of your lineup for long stretches of time. You go through the stretch that we did before this break, and you're squeezing your team to work harder and work harder, and you're not getting the result from it. That there's a driver there that you, when you then come out and have a 10-day block, and I'm really like the way we've played, and as hard as we've played, your faith builds in that, and you get the enthusiasm. Is the other thing, I guess, is, and you can see it in older players, as your coach starts to get some years in, like that's the only thing left to do, and that gets you out of bed every morning, and with this group, you're excited about it.
So that leads to the next question. So what would 50... yada yada Paul Maurice say to,
appreciate
30
that.
Year, what advice do you give 30-year-old Paul Maurice stepping in behind the bench at Hartford that you know now that you didn't know then?
Don't take the losses so personally. It's not always on you, even though you leave, you know, for 20 years you leave the rink. If you've lost a game, there was something you felt you missed. That's a heavy weight to carry, right? This is a group and it's a team and you're a part of it, but you're, I would say I would have carried the losses far heavier than I needed to. And the other is enjoy the people then in that moment, right? Get to know them a little bit more. God, half my team was older than me, so, right? Like, I'm closer to the age of their kids than I was to some of these guys in the locker room, it felt like anyway. So much, it's been an unusual start. So I had a really unusual path to get to a point. We're probably 5 or 6 years in, even though I'm young, that you're walking into the room at 32, 33, and you feel you know your game, you feel like you belong in the room.
Every guy we talked to said, you know, they all have their own Palmer stories, but how much of it was getting to know these guys as people so you know exactly how to handle them? And that's management in any situation, I guess.
Sure, but I'm still learning that, right? Because there's so much growth in these guys. At the ages that they're at, it's different. Getting to know a guy who's 33 is pretty easy. You have 2 or 3 conversations with him, you watch him play, you got a pretty good idea what he's good at and how to get that out of him. A 24-year-old that gives you 3 different kinds of games on a weekly basis, that's a harder guy to get to know. And he's got so many more influences. It wouldn't be any different than what I went through. You're different when you're young and you got 3 little kids and you're trying to get them to school and get them into hockey, and then things just settle after a while, right? You've got their first contract, their second contract, what their agents are saying. Yeah, you know what? You could probably play more on that team. You should be on the one-timer side on the power. They got a whole lot of influences, so they change more. So that's the challenge of getting to know them almost month by month over again in terms of how you interact with them.
Paul, you've talked about evolution a lot. How's your approach towards dealing with younger players evolved over the years, especially as the league has gotten younger?
The younger players were raised by the older players 20 years ago, truly. The guy that sat beside them, the guy on the bus, a lot of them would live with older players. The room handled all those kids, and it was a harder life for them. There also didn't seem to be as many. I remember, you know, Joe Thornton's playing as a young man on the 4th line in Boston about 3-4 minutes a night, and Pat Burns is saying, the guy can't play, he's not ready. He's got to put on 20 pounds before he can play. that's changed so much that we're getting younger and younger people in making impacts, but they're still 18, 19, 20 years old. They're still young. They're still boys, a lot of them. We didn't see the sheer numbers of young players, and we certainly didn't rely on them, right? Your season wasn't going to go by whether a 22-year-old scored 30 or not on you. Those guys barely played. So it's completely different now in terms, but you weren't handling those kids. Now you're not only handling them, you're playing them in the top six. They're going to get points up, but there's a whole bunch of other things they got to learn, and they're all hard things to learn that nobody really wants to learn. So that's the real challenge. You are just interacting with far younger players who have seemingly a far higher skill level. The skills that you need to be good right now, you can acquire at a younger age to be good. To be great, you still got to go through all the hard things that you got to learn. And if you're a guy that's got 50, 60 points and $6 million in the bank and you're 23, it's a little more challenging to get that guy to get into a shot lane or get on the wall and win that battle and keep your shift's length right. And you know, that's more of a challenge.
You've talked about your KHL time before, but I mean, what's it been like to be back and immersed in the NHL game when maybe there was a time where you weren't sure you were going to be behind an NHL bench again?
Yeah, it's really good. You know, I believe it was Arizona, my very first game standing behind the bench here with the national anthems going. That was a pretty good moment. I haven't forgotten that. You know, the national anthems at the start of each game are an enjoyable time for me to be in a North American building to hear the anthems, to hear the True North chant. That's kind of a bit of a touchstone. Every time I get back there, I'm reminded that it wasn't always. You got to be grateful and appreciative of standing behind an NHL bench.
What area have you evolved the most since arriving here to now, in terms of your coaching?
In Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a deep one. You know, I'm more aware now of all the things that I don't know, right? And that's probably a function of age. All of the things that you have to relearn and reinvestigate, the things that you think you know that you have to go back and look at again. The change in the game is, you know, I was fortunate. 2006, the game really changes. Then all these kids come in the last 7 or 8 years. That has forced all of us to rethink the way we interact with our players, for sure. And that's the biggest change.
Wheeler, okay?
Yeah, under the weather. We'll make a decision tomorrow.